So our topic today is life visioning and the four stages of consciousness. And I had a wonderful time with Reverend Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith as I was preparing for this talk, because he spends a great deal of time talking about what's the purpose of visioning? Why do we want to vision? What are we about that we're creating a vision? And so I got to think about visioning and the stages of consciousness. And one of the things he says is life visioning is about setting yourself free. That pain pushes you until your vision pulls you forward. So I've heard that said before that motivation is like pushing a rock up a hill, and that vision is like standing at the top of a hill and having the rock pulled up like a magnet, that you're seeing the vision from the top and everything necessary just comes by law of attraction, by the universal dynamics to make what you want happen. And it's about what do you say yes to. So our passion test last week, those of us who took that, gave us an opportunity to explore what it is that we want to say yes to in our lives. And each of us found several things, five top things that we wanted to say yes to when we did the passion test. And any of us can think about dreams coming true, about things that we want to experience in our lives, and begin to work from the position of seeing a bigger picture, changing our perspective, changing our focus. Reverend Michael says, Your greatest good is beyond the planning mind, beyond your present mind, and unprecedented in your experience. It requires intuitive, direct knowing in order to move toward it. So visioning is about ultimately moving beyond the planning mind, not making up your mind what you want, but allowing what you want to emerge from you, seeing your authentic self expanding in the world. He says we have the power to create our inner environment, and we need to claim that power. And he describes the way we do that through stages of consciousness. And I handed out a little graphic, an iceberg graphic, that we have used here in study group a number of times. So many of you may have seen this before. But what it represents is that in an iceberg, only 10% lies above the waterline. The rest of the iceberg lies in the invisible from the surface. And that's the truth of who we are. As we feel separate on the surface, the part of us that's in the air, we feel victimized, perhaps. We live from fear and lack. We don't have the sense that our dreams are coming true and that we can enjoy our lives. But as we begin to cultivate this understanding that we are a much bigger being than we appear at the beginning, we appear from the surface, then we can deepen our understanding through various paths. One of the paths, the one on the right side here, is the path of the mind that says thought is creative and that we are the leading edge of non-physical thought. The one on the left is the path of the heart that talks about surrendering to the divine and God as the divine beloved. And either the path of the mind or the path of the heart expands your understanding of who you are. It allows you to connect with a broader perspective, a clearer vision of a bigger life. And ultimately, the two paths come together in both and. Both mind and heart coming together in oneness, where you are in the place of being God expressing. And the other thing that's on this chart is the David Hawkins map of human consciousness, which starts up at the top with shame and grief and fear, anger and pride. Those are the victim states. When you are in those states, you are in the victim state. As you move into courage, you move into the path of the mind or the path of the heart, exploring non-judgment and acceptance, understanding and wisdom, ultimately love and peace and joy. Up at the top in oneness, or at the bottom on this graphic, oneness and ecstasy, bliss, and knowing I am that I am, the divine self. These are the stages of consciousness as we've discussed them in study group before. So I wanted to do a review of the way we've talked about it before, because now we're going to talk about it in a new way. It tracks this in many ways, but it's a little bit different. So I wanted to acknowledge that this is not the first time we've talked about this, and set the stage to talk about the adventure of this year. Because in 2012, we are embarking on an adventure of life visioning. And Michael Beckwith says, true adventure carries the quality of heightened awareness because you're exploring unknown territory and don't know what to expect. And so often when we start our spiritual growth, we have an expectation of where we're going, of what we're trying to accomplish. And in the visioning process, it's opening us up, it's making us more receptive to explore the unknown. What aspect of myself have I not previously explored? And we are connected to the infinite, the universal. So we never run out of aspects to explore. There is no possibility of hitting the ceiling of something new about the divine self within us that we haven't explored yet. There's always more, always more. So we are saying yes to becoming more open and available and responsive to what's new within us and then what's new outside of us. Around every corner, there are potential surprises and delights that the universe is lining up for us if we only have the eyes to see them. And so we're opening our eyes, we're opening our hearts, we're moving into a state of unconditional love and deep listening. He says those are the two kingpins to visioning. Grounding it in unconditional love, knowing that the universe is unconditionally loving. The way my beloved, my guides say it is, no one excluded or set to the side, each one supported, loved, and supplied. The way Reverend Michael says it is that God is an unlimited giver. God never says no. There is always more being given all the time, that the universe is broadcasting on your channel all the time. This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. That you are loved, that you are supported, that you are cared about unconditionally. It's not about performing, it's about simply being. You are loved for being. Doesn't that feel good? Loved for being. So, yes. So we are becoming open, available, and responsive to the love that's already there for us. We are relaxing into that deep listening that allows us to hear that this is a friendly universe, that this is a wonderful universe where we are loved and appreciated. He talks about freedom, and what I discovered this week as I explored this topic is that I kept running into F words. One of the F words was freedom. that ultimately, as we move up through the stages of consciousness, we have more and more freedom. And if you look at the stages of consciousness, they're really about where do you perceive the power to lie? And as we perceive ourselves as victims, we feel that the power in our life is outside of us. Other people are doing to us. Other people are to blame, or situations are to blame, or our childhood is to blame. There's always something else that's responsible for things not going well other than us. But as we move up any of the paths of the stages of consciousness, we take more personal responsibility. We claim that ability to determine what our inner environment feels like. One of the things that the beloved said to me early on in our conversations is that they said they wanted to help me create the inner environment of an innocent, unconditionally loved, creative child. So imagine what your mind would be like if you knew you were loved and you were completely open to life with the eagerness and joy of a little tiny child. Can you see that? Can you feel that? Know what that feels like? Can you see the eagerness and the light in the eyes of the little kids? I bet Ed can. He's had recent experience with his grandson. He was telling me about eagerness the other day, wearing everybody out. Everybody else needed a nap, except for the baby. Reverend Michael said that the average individual doesn't choose, because the average individual in our society generally resides in victim consciousness. And they don't feel like they have a choice. They only have the opportunity to react, continually react to situation after situation. And perhaps you don't live in that consciousness anymore. But I remember living in consciousness where my intention was to survive. That my life felt like if I got through the next day, I'd be doing well. And that I was always struggling to respond to whatever it was that was happening around me. It has been so long since I lived that way. I've almost forgotten what that's like, because I take survival for granted now. I know I'm going to survive. My life is about thriving and how I can expand in new and wonderful ways. But many people are where I once was, where they're simply wanting to survive and handle whatever the crisis is of the moment. And as you move up in the steps of consciousness, it allows you more power. It allows you more internal control of how you feel and what you do and what actions you take. And then, ultimately, as you move up and up in the stages of consciousness, he says, true freedom is to choose to consciously participate in the evolutionary thrust of the universe as you. The universe wants to evolve as each of us. God lives as us, with the opportunity to give and share the gifts that we've been given, the gifts and talents and abilities that we were born with, that want to express in the world. That's who we are and why we're here. And to be authentically ourselves is to be an unlimited, eternal being, tapping into the inner source resources and life energy of the universe. The way Abraham Hicks says it is, one who is connected is more powerful than a million who are not. That's plugging into the energy flow of the divine within us. And we have the opportunity to do that so that we can do this visioning and expand our point of view so that new insights can come to us. The ability to solve problems doesn't lie in the consciousness that created the problems. The ability to solve problems lies in expanding to a new perspective that sees a level of solution rather than a level of problem. So let's talk about the stages of consciousness as Reverend Michael describes them. He describes them as 1, 2, 3, and 4, but he states very clearly at the very beginning of the book, page 2, he states this, although I have described the stages in a linear manner, 1 to 4, they are non-linear. You may experience dimensions of your life in which you operate from a stage 4 awareness, in other words, other areas where you live at a stage 1 mentality. The stages help you identify where you have a level of mastery and where you do not yet. So some areas of your life you may feel very empowered, other areas of your life you may feel very victimized. It doesn't have to be linear across the board. It's a non-linear experience. And Reverend Michael talks about the prepositions involved. So in the victim consciousness, life is done to you. So you feel like someone else is doing something to you. In the second level, the second stage, that's manifestor consciousness, that's where life is done by you to it. So you manifest and create life by your individual focus as a separate individual. Channel consciousness, the third stage, life is done through you. So we had to you, by you, and through you. And in the fourth stage, oneness or being consciousness, life is done as you. That's the I am that I am consciousness. So let's go through them more specifically. Victim consciousness, you are largely influenced by race consciousness. That means the mass of humanity, the consciousness of humanity running like CNN news, some disasters happening in every possible moment, and we're going to run through them over and over and over and over and over again all day long, every day, so you never forget that disaster is happening. That's what your mind is like when you feel like a victim. Do you know that circular thinking where you keep going over and over what's going wrong? That's victim consciousness. That's a mental vibration of fear and limitation, which recycles previously digested thoughts, feelings, and reactions again and again and again. He calls that mentation, the mental experience of regurgitating thought, as opposed to thinking. So when you are recycling negative thinking, that's referred to as mentation. When you move from victim consciousness to stage 2, manifestor consciousness, you cease judgment, you release blame and resistance, and you cultivate your inner witness. So you begin the process of observing your thoughts, which we call meditation. And you sit and you notice that you are not your thinking, that there is something within you that can watch you think. And that's a bigger part of you, a truer part of you. And you begin to become aware that you have a choice. You practice forgiveness. And what he says, Reverend Michael says, is ignorance is at the core of all wrongdoing. So whether you've made a mistake or someone else has hurt you, it's coming from ignorance. It's coming from this consciousness of fear and lack. And in this state of victimhood, we had some more F words. You can imagine what the first one is. But you also have fear and fury. And when you feel that victimization, you either get afraid or angry most of the time. Fear and fury. Then I found I was playing with I words. And so each of the stages also had I words. And the I words for stage 1 were ignorance, indignation, and indigestion. I could really relate to that. When I feel victim consciousness, I feel ignorance, indignation, and indigestion. And the way to get out of it is another F word, forgiveness. And his idea of forgiveness is where you cut off making someone else responsible for your life and your happiness. Forgiveness is taking your power back from a situation or another person. Manifestor consciousness, by me to it, is about motivation. I'm going to make this happen through my focus. And focus is the F word for stage two. And the I words for stage two for me are intention and imagination. Because stage two is where you use visualization and you imagine the well-being that you want in your life. And it comes from your planning mind. You're setting goals, you're imagining what your life could be like, and then allowing that to happen. And the universe is orderly. It works by laws. So what you focus on manifests. So in stage two, you begin to feel much more power in your life because you see what you're focusing on manifest. Realize that life is not random or by chance and is a direct result of law of attraction. And the movie The Secret was talking about manifestor consciousness. That was about remembering what you want and focusing on it. But the problem with manifestor consciousness is that you get what you're interested in, what you're thinking about. And we think about what we fear and worry about and the things that make us angry as much as we think about the things we love, dream about, most of us. And so you get a combination of things by law of attraction, the things you're afraid of and the things that you want. The third level, the third stage, is channel consciousness, where life is done through me. And where instead of focusing on what you want to get, like stage two, you focus on what you want to let. And you let go and let God. You allow life to flow, which is the F word for the third stage, flow. And the primary practice is meditation, practicing the witness-observer consciousness, going into states of mind where time seems to stop and something greater comes through you. You surrender control and you allow yourself to flow. In this stage, your focus becomes not on what you're going to get, but on what you have to give. And you let your gifts flow into the world. It allows you to pay attention to that which is eternal and infinite, not just to the power within yourself as an individual, but the power that flows through you from infinite supply. So at stage three, everything blows out. It becomes far more expansive. And you have access to a much bigger potential than you had in stage two. But again, that's what we're tapping into when we're visioning as opposed to visualizing. We are listening to these broader ideas that are forever broadcasting rather than making up what it's going to look like from our local perspective. So when you get to stage three, you talk about channeling a bigger idea. You talk about seeing through the eyes of Source, being the hands and heart of God, and allowing that to flow through you. Okay, stage four. Stage three, the I words were intuition and inspiration. When you're visioning, you're not tapping into the focused consciousness, the intention and imagination of stage two, but you're moving into that broader perspective of life where you allow the inspiration of your intuition in that deep listening state of unconditional love. Stage four is life living as me. That's where you are one with Source. You don't see yourself separate from God. You are the spirit of God, not the witness to it, but the knowing of it. Not in the zone, you are the zone. And you create a field wherever you go that people react to because you carry the love, you carry the beingness of God with you everywhere you go. The I word for stage four for me is illumination. Reverend Michael didn't do I words and F words. Those were mine. That was the flow for me the last couple of days. I kept going, oh yeah, there's another F word. Okay. So the way I best understand stage four is that you become a master both at flow and focus, so that you allow yourself to experience the intuitive flow, to know what your beingness is about, and then you focus on sharing that in the world. That's where the focus comes in. So that's what we were doing when we were doing the passion test. We were allowing that flow of what's really important to us, and then making the choice and setting the intention to flow on, to focus on those flowing aspects of life, the parts of us that are truly expanded into the infinite. So those are the four, and that's what we are about this year. We are going to explore more specifically the four stages of consciousness. That's our plan for the next few weeks. Judy is going to talk about victim consciousness and how to move beyond that. On February 5th, Mary Rose is going to talk about manifestor consciousness and how to experience and move beyond that. On February 4th, I'm going to talk about channel consciousness and how to experience that and then move beyond it. And then Judy's going to talk about being consciousness on March 18th. So we have 2 months of working with this wonderful stages of consciousness and becoming conscious of our consciousness so that we see ourselves during the day, oh, in this moment I'm blaming someone for something, I'm in stage one. In this moment I'm in soaring bliss, I'm in stage four. In this moment I'm witnessing my life and what's happening in it, I'm in stage three. In this moment, I'm seeing something I was thinking about manifest in my life. I'm in stage two right now. And that awareness, moving in consciousness, is all about becoming aware. Until you're aware of something, you can't change it. So we're expanding our awareness. We're moving into the unlimited vision of life. And I've been struggling, many of you know that I've been struggling with the fact that I wrote 3 books and I haven't published them. And I keep, it's like every day I say to myself, do I need to publish these books? How do I do that? Who do I go to? What do I need to do? And a friend of mine sent me an email and she said, you know, you could self-publish them, though that would be an option for you, and I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about e-publishing them, and she said, but whatever you do, if you have a publisher, they're going to be about what's your marketing plan, marketing your books. You know, that's what publishing is all about, marketing your books. And when she wrote me that, I got it on Friday, and it was bugging me, you know, it's like, That I've been reading that for 2 years now, and it always trips me up. I don't want to market books. And I kept thinking, what is it about that? What is it about that? And this morning as I was meditating and giving this talk, I had this illuminating moment that is such a relief to me, because I'm not here to market books. I'm here to share the love that is expressed in my books. And if I'm sharing the love, if the books never get published, it doesn't matter. Because my intention is not to market books. My intention is to share the love. And I am so grateful to have words for the vision that can draw me forward rather than pushing toward publishing and marketing books. I don't care if I never sell a book. I want to share the love. And that's my true vision. And I'm so grateful for it. And you know, next week it may be different. And I'm open to that because I'm an unlimited eternal being. And next week I may have even better words for it than I do this week. But this week it's about sharing the love. And I really appreciate the fact that you all give me the chance to share my love here on a regular basis. And I think we're all going to share a lot of love with Reverend Michael through this life visioning experience over the next couple of months. And John has a comment.
I'm sorry, I don't want to break your stride. The fourth keyword, we have victim, manifestor, channel,
and being.
Being. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Also oneness. Being, consciousness Thanks. Equals oneness. So I am just grateful to be here, to be embarking on this adventure with all of you. And I am excited about this idea that this true adventure that we're upon together is going to bring us all to a heightened awareness, because the unexpected lies before us, within us, around us, and within each other. So I'm looking forward to seeing the unexpected in me and the unexpected in each of you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.